All right, good morning, everybody. Without further ado, I'm gonna ask Eddie to pray for Rico this morning, and we're going to turn it over to him.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just lift up our brother to you this morning, Lord. And Father, we just pray that your anointing be upon him, Lord God. Father, we thank you that he took the time to study your word and bring forth this message for us this morning, Lord. I pray right now that we prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for this word, Lord God, because we know it's from you, Lord. And Father, we just pray that every word he utters would be of you, Lord God. And we pray that we would take this word and we would run with it, Lord God. We would share it with others and apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, all yours, Rico.
All right, thank you, guys. So I'll start off with the title of the word that came today. So the title of the teaching today is loyalty.
Ooh.
And yeah, it is a ooh one. Loyalty is something that I know we've all heard it, and we all feel that we could be loyal to something or know what loyalty means when people are not being loyal to us. So I'm going to start off with a video to show you guys an example that I really like. Yeah, I'm going to jump through this, so I'm not going to use this whole video because it's 20 minutes long, and that's my whole teaching, pretty much. So, but I just want you guys to see what these guys are doing. Now, I'm going to start off by saying that these guys are pararescuemen. For you guys that don't know what pararescuemen are, they're part of the Air Force. And just like the Navy has the Navy SEALs, the Army has their Rangers, the Air Force has their pararescuemen. That's their top elite guys. And I have to put this plug in. Their training is harder than the Navy SEAL training. Oh, I could tell you that he won't.
Have you gone through it?
No.
You were told that, huh?
No.
You're loyal to
it. Yes, I am.
Okay. Loyalty.
All right, that's all I'm going to show you guys for this, yeah. So, in all actuality, that's really, I just showed you a very minute amount of the training that they got to go through. They have, this is their, one of their first indoctrination trainings. It's an 8-week training, and they go through a lot in this training. They go through, they actually go all the way to muscle fatigue daily. There's portions on here that are not shown on here where they actually have to carry gigantic logs, like light post logs, and they got to carry these, and they cannot let them go. If they let them go, they hurt somebody that else that's holding it, you know, and it will literally, the one person fails, they all fail, because as soon as one person lets go, that log falls down to the ground, and so do the people. That's how heavy these logs are. So they need, everyone needs to be over 100% all the time. There's also other things that they'll go through if they make it through this part. This part, only like a single-digit percentage make it through out of all the people that go through that training. So single digit, you're talking 8% one graduation to go to the next training. And that doesn't guarantee that they're going to make it, right? Now, you know, like I thought, like why do people, you know, you think sometimes, why would somebody go through all this, you know, and it's crazy that they would have to do something like that, right? Now, I'm going to tell you that they're not forced to do this. None of them are. They do this because they want to, because they are loyal to the fact that we need people to be like this. They're loyal to the fact that this country needs men that are strong like them to do some of the craziest rescue missions, some of the craziest things that you wouldn't even think of that we could even do. They go through extreme temperatures, just like kind of like the Navy SEALs do. They make them go through hyperthermia situations where they're put into freezing cold waters, and they go into shock, and they have to control themselves through that shock. And same thing with different weathers. You know, they put them in shark-infested waters and see how they handle those situations with stress. You know, they put them in super high altitudes, you know, with in the mountains, and they got to make their way, find their way back to some type of a civilization, you know. So they put him in all these crazy things to see how they're gonna handle it. Now another part that they go through is they go through trainings where it's almost simulating like I'm not gonna go into crazy detail about it, but it's almost simulating like they've been captured. And those situations, how do they act in those situations? Are they gonna let go of information? And I'm gonna tell you this, it's hard. Those situations that they put them through become almost realistic. And they're driven that far, and they know that they have to go through this, because if they buckle in there, how are they gonna do in real life? So they gotta put them through those horrendous amounts of stress. I mean, it's crazy the things that these guys allow themselves to go through. And that shows you how loyal they are to not let go of a single word, but their name, social, and who they represent. That's it. So, you know, for these guys to do something like that for our country, don't you think we should be even more loyal to our God, the one that promises us eternal life after this? So in saying that, I'm going to go on and go on with this message. So I'm going to read out of Psalm 128, 1 through 2. First, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. You know, when you hear that, you know, and people, you know, a lot of times, and you know what? My neighbor next door, actually, she came up, she asked me, she just lost her husband a couple weeks ago. And every once in a while we say hi and all that, you know, and, you know, I'll sometimes, you know, snowplow their side of their house and everything like that. And, you know, so we have a good relationship, you know. One day she came, she knows that I come to church all the time and I cook at the church. We talk enough for her to know that I'm really involved in the church. And one day she came up to me and she goes, "Hey, I need some help. I'm having a hard time with something. Can you help me?" And I don't know what it was. I didn't know what it was. I thought I was going to have to do something. Her husband's dead, you know, and maybe she needs me to lift something up out of the house and all that stuff like that. And I was like, "Okay, yeah, let's do it." And I go up to her on the porch and she opens up a Bible app. And she says, "I do not understand this, and I need your help on this. I don't know what this. I'm trying to figure out what this means." And it had to do about Abraham and sacrifice. You know, the whole thing about taking his son up for sacrifice. You know, and I gave her a little bit of perspective in that. You know, and I showed her that, you know, it was an obedience. You know, kind of like an obedience test, you know. And it showed, it was a moment to show God, were you more obedient to him or to something, a temporary situation, you know. And then I put it in an example as, you know, our life is one thing, you know. And you know, I brought up the thing about when Kenny used the rope and as an example. And that little bit, that little red on that rope, as opposed to the length of that whole rope, is just a minute part of your life, you know. And with God, we have the extension of that rope, right? So would you rather be disobedient and just only have that little piece, or would you rather be obedient and maybe hurt or sacrifice a little or struggle a little to have the rest, you know? And I gave her that perspective of it, you know. And now, I mean, there's more things to it and all that, but I definitely think that in that moment in time, she was going through a lot of suffering. She was going through these things, and her husband was an usher at their church and everything, and he faithfully went to that and everything and did his duties for many years. I mean, I think she said over 30-something years or 40 years or something like that. You know, so she's questioning these things, she's digging for answers and all that stuff, and I just felt like, you know, she's going through a suffering, you know, and it's only for a little while, you know, because there's a lot more to come that we can't even fathom or understand how awesome it's going to be, you know? I mean, we could take the best thing that we enjoy the most, and it's nothing, it's literally nothing compared to what we're going to have after this. So being obedient there in that situation, you know, I was blessed by it, you know, and it actually, it was like one of those things, like, you know, you pray for to be used and stuff like that. And I know, like Pastor has said many times, be careful, you know, because you're going to get used. But for me, it's like, you know, I'd rather have that opportunity. Even if I fail, I'd rather have that opportunity to at least say I had an opportunity, you know, to at least be able to, even if it's just coming up to somebody and picking up their papers that they dropped, you know, or something like being some random act of kindness, you know. Sometimes that's all it takes for somebody to see that God is real, you know. So in knowing that God is real and everything, we're going to read out of 2 Timothy 1 through 6. And this is where I get into the loyalty part. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. I really like this, and I really tried hard to understand it more and more when I read it. It says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." I think that taking that whole thing, you have to like hear that whole thing to understand more in the reality of loyalty. And there's a lot there, and you could spend a lot of time, like I did, on reading on just that passage right there. But one of the things that caught my eye was the fan into flame, the gift of God. You know, we've heard that before. I've heard other people talk about fanning the flames. I mean, I remember Eddie talking about that a long time ago. But one of the things that I really try to get into more is I don't remember exactly who was teaching it, but they were talking about how refining iron or making a sword and all that stuff like that, it takes fire and to make it pure and all that stuff, right? But you need a flame to make that happen, right? You need heat, right? And when you fan a flame, it makes the flame more violent, you know, stronger, you know? So, you know, I looked up definitions. So, you know, you hear to intensify or stir up feelings, you know, things like that. So, you know, I understand what that means. Now, applying it to our gift, the gift of God, the gifts that we have, you know, how do you do that, you know? So I'm gonna give you a really good example. It's not necessarily related, but you're gonna get the picture of what it means to fan the flame. So this lady really found this guy attractive, right? So she's already sees this guy that she met, right? And she finds him attractive, right? I'm not talking about Brian, so don't get your head all. So at this point, now ladies, think about it. You find this man attractive, right? And he comes up to you and, you know, he introduces himself to you and you see that he's interested, right? Already at that point, you're already like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but okay, this nice looking man, is, you know, you're already like there, right? You're already like, okay, I want to see what this guy has, you know, right? But then, so then you meet this guy, right? And you get to know him, right? And he's a great guy, And then, so at this point, you're already getting to know him. You become friends. He's a great guy. You see that he's trying to court you or whatever, and things are going good. And then, let's say he has to go away for a short while. And when he goes away, you're already like almost sold on this guy, right? He's going away for a little while. He'll be back. But then while he's away, you know, and this is hard. Even I'm going to be honest, it's hard for me sometimes. You know, when I'm away, it's hard for me to stay in touch with everyone, right? You know, I mean, I have a hard time sometimes just calling my kids and my wife, you know. But this guy faithfully, every day, sends a letter to his wife, right? Faithfully. Now, every day that he was gone, she got a letter from him. How do you think that would make her feel? Already, she's already basically won over, but now it's like he's doing that, going that extra mile, right? He's putting everything he has, even though he's away and probably working hard or doing whatever he's doing, he's taking that extra moment to make sure she has a letter so she has a piece of him while he's away. That's a lot, right? And I know a lot of us have been in situations where we've courted our wives or whatever, and we went extra because it obviously sometimes doesn't show afterwards, right? You know, and look, I'm gonna be honest, we do that, and that's normal that's just how people we are. You know, we're gonna go that extra mile to make sure that we seal the deal, right? And I'm not ashamed because it's the truth. You know, I mean, I'm still gonna try to be good. You know, I'm still gonna try to be better, but hey, it's the truth, right? So that's fanning the flame, right? So now to put that totally unrelated to our walk or our gifts with God, but that effort is what I want you guys to see, is the effort that he took in writing those letters. What effort are we putting in our relationship, in the gifts that he's given us? Are we using them and applying them to walk with, you know, to help others, to reach out to others, to minister to others, to be that light, or to be that kindness, that person that, you know, exhorts others, or, you know, all the things that we're called to do as followers of Christ. So what are we doing to fan that flame, you know, to keep that gift going? Because we all have gifts. And if you don't know what they are, I strongly suggest that you chase after it, like many things in the Word, like silver and gold, you know, chase after that gift, you know, and look for it. You know, sometimes you won't even realize it, that you've already been operating in that gift. And then it just like, it's almost like, wow, okay, that's my gift. I didn't know that all this time. And it's like, sometimes things like that happen, like it happened with me, and it's like operating in that gift is almost easy. And you don't understand why. And sometimes some people come up to you, I don't know how you do all that, or do this or that. And I honestly, the only answer I have is it's God, because, you know, I'm tired or I'm, you know, beat up or I've been through a lot and somehow this stuff still happens. I know it's not me, you know, and I'm going to get into more of why and how all that here as we go on. So I'm going to stop going on my little bunny trails and move on. So it said on here, God gave us a spirit that gives us power, love, and self-discipline, right? That's what we read earlier. Let's see. Oops. Okay, so God gives us a spirit, and the spirit is in us, right? So what does that mean, the spirit is in us or lives in us, right? He lives in us. So think about how we live in our homes. You know, the spirit lives in us. So he's choosing for us to be his home. So just like we work on our house when things break, and actually better than us, because like I know I have a sticky toilet thing and I haven't hit it yet, messed with it yet, because it's kind of like bottom of my list of things that I already have to do, you know. But it needs to get done. It needs to get done. Yeah, I do. But, and that's why I say he's better, because he doesn't, he hits everything when it needs to be hit. He tackles every situation. He's always there. He's not going to fail us. You know, he's not like us where we fail him at times, you know. And I know, just like me and many others here, we are living testimonies to that. You know, we've seen that with our own eyes, and that's why we're so convinced. Just like Paul was convinced, and Timothy was convinced, and all these other followers were convinced. We see that God is more real than we realize, even though we can't see him or sometimes feel him. So it talked about power, love, and self-discipline. You know, I just looked up a little bit of focus on power, because a lot of us know what love is. It definitely points it out in here what love exactly is. A lot of us have it in our homes and everything, you know, placed in different areas, and self-discipline. Now, the power, you know, we've heard that power means authority, right? Or in dominion, you know, control. And then I read a little bit more about power, and it also has sway in there. Now, sway, you know, I mean, when you hear sway, it's like, okay, so you can change somebody's mind, right? Or you can change somebody's heart. You know, so there's something living inside of me that gives me the power to use, gives me the dominion over situations, that gives me control to do things. I don't have self-control, but the spirit inside of me gives me access to that self-control. You know, because I could tell you, there's times where I know it's because of lack of self-control that I experience certain things or go through different suffering that I go through. But when I'm acting in obedience to Christ, to God, then that self-control just, it's like there. And I wonder myself how, you know, I'm in awe at times. Wow, I can't believe that I was able to do something like that. Or I can't believe I stuck it through, you know, or things like that. You know, I, for a long time when I was younger, I battled with courage, you know, and taking a stand for things or for myself, you know, or having courage to say something. You know, I still battle sometimes today to have courage to say things, you know. And you begin to convince yourself not to, you know, in your head and stuff like that. And, you know, I see that in my children sometimes in situations that they're put in. And it kind of challenged me to be better at it, you know. And so, and I think that's the Holy Spirit telling you, it's kind of giving you that gentle nudge, like, check it out, man. You know, you can do this. I'm here with you. You know, I know it hurt you seeing that even in your own kid, that issue that you want to fix in you. So what are we going to do about it? I'm here to help you. Use me, you know. So we have an excellent, I can't even say a tool, because the Holy Spirit is way more than that. I mean, we can go off with multiple names of what he is. So in knowing this, do not, you know, it said in here, do not be ashamed of the gospel or the testimony, his testimony. Paul was talking about his testimony, you know. Don't be ashamed of it. Now, to me, what I got out of that was, he said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. We already know, understand, don't be ashamed of the gospel. You know, when you're put in situations or when you're declaring, you know, don't be scared to declare the gospel. Don't be scared to say, hey, look, I'm a follower of Christ, you know, and I don't believe in that, or I don't agree with that, you know, and I'm going to stand firm in what God's plans are, God's commands are, you know, and I'm going to do my best to follow suit, not buckle and give in, you know, or not say anything. Now, the testimony of Paul, that kind of reminded me of your own testimony, you know, your guys' testimony. Sometimes some people are ashamed to talk about their own testimony. You know, they're ashamed because they've been through some really, really hard times, you know, and sometimes those hardest times that you're scared to share are the very things that's going to help somebody right now, you know. And that's one thing, like, you know, it's not that we're called to be an open book, but more so it was, we're called to show that God can do something in the worst of me and make something so great out of it, you know? And, you know, for him to do something like that, that for me alone, that alone makes me want to be loyal to God. You know, it makes me, it encourages me, it motivates me, it refreshes me, just pondering and reflecting on that. And that helps me to be more loyal, you know, or strive to be loyal, you know. And that's, those are the types of things that you got to, like, put in you or, you know, speak to you, to yourself, to keep you going, you know, to keep fanning that flame and those gifts that God gave you. And that kind of goes along with rather join with him, with Paul, in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So see, again, we're talking about, we're going to have, even though we're going to go through that suffering, we're going to have his power with us. You know, and sometimes it's, we have to be, I mean, it's going to be moments we're crying. God, I know that I have to go through this, and I know it's hard. You know, instead of asking why, I know it's hard, but I'm going to stick through this. And I know that one day you'll reveal it to me, and if not, I'm still going to push forward because I know that the other things you promised me and made happen for real, if those promises still stand, then these promises still stand, you know. And no, I mean, nothing that I've experienced in my walk so far to this day has shown me that he is not reliable, that he's not loyal. He's more loyal than anybody I've ever met. It's amazing the example, not only that he leaves to us now, but even then, you know. I mean, he gave us this book to see through generations and generations and generations, you know, his loyalty to us, you know, and ways that we could show our loyalty to him. So how do you show your loyalty to God? It's as I read on there, it said we are called to a holy life. You know, holy people, you know, sometimes we think the whole holy, you know, is about being better or is about, you know, looking like you got white sheets, you know, and stuff like that. It's not nowhere near that. It's not about looking a certain way. It's about actually being a certain way. And it's, I mean, we all, some of us know already, it means set apart. Holy, that's all holy means, is set apart. So to me, that's different. You're different. You're not like the world, you know. And like that other teaching I said, that I really believe that we're aliens, you know. And what that means is, yes, we are when you compare yourself to the world. You know, the world is, you are not like this world, because if you were, you would not be here. You know, so we're all here for a reason. We're chosen. You know, so we are not like the world. So we're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. That's why we see things even in our own brothers and sisters. Sometimes we should think twice and say, look, are we perfect to even say something about that? You know, and again, that shows your loyalty. Are you loyal to your brothers? You know, he was saying this, when Paul was writing this, he spoke about three men, two of them were not loyal, and one was loyal. And I'm going to read a little bit of that part, too. But before I do, I put on here, what do we have to entrust in our Lord? I mean, simple, our reason for living, our life, you know? That right there encompasses everything, right? Because if we entrust our life, our reason for living to the Lord, that's showing loyalty to him. That's showing that he comes first, right? Because we're going to let him guide us. We're going to let him show us the way that we need to go, you know, and do the things that we need to do. And it talked about the good deposit, the word, you know, the good deposit that God has left in you, you know. And to me, that's like the word, the gifts, you know. I think what he was trying to talk about, Paul was trying to talk about there was, you know, like to guard your heart, guard your life, your mind. And we have the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us to do that. And that way we could be continue to be loyal to Christ and not be led astray, like some of these guys did. In 2 Timothy 1:15, It says right here, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. I don't know how to say that right. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. So he talks about three guys, right? Two of them left, deserted him. And, you know, it's interesting he used deserted, because that's kind of like, I feel like we sometimes do to God, you know, and in situations that I've been in, I chose other routes, you know, when I didn't like what I was hearing, you know, or when I wanted something else, something more, a fleshly desire more so than, you know, the godly desire that I should have been striving for more. Sometimes it's fame, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's relationship of others that really don't matter, or the small little things that you think are more important. Or so deserted means to leave behind, abandoned, to draw away, to somebody that drew away from you. So these guys, you know, drew away from Paul, left him behind, abandoned him. These guys were supposedly Christian. You know, I mean, it says they were Christian, so they were Christian, but they made a choice to leave, to abandon the cause, to me, the gospel, you know. Reasons why they left, it doesn't really talk about much besides that, but you can kind of surmise what, you know, in putting the situation together, you can kind of like see things, you know. I mean, Paul's imprisoned, he's in chains, you know, so he's in bondage, and these guys are, at one point, they're following him, and he's leading these people, you know, and being a vessel for God. And somehow, at some point in time, they saw the chains and the imprisonment more so than the light of the Lord inside of him. So they allowed their vision to be clouded, which made it easy for them to be disloyal. Now, it talks about Onesiphorus being a refreshing, he refreshed Paul. He was unashamed of Paul's chains. And I put on here, i.e. chains of sorrow. Think about chains of affliction. People, brothers in Christ that you have, you know, that are going through things like that, you know, are you drawing away from them? You know, are you abandoning them or leaving them behind? And that's kind of hard, because, you know, I didn't think of it that way until I read this. And really saw what these guys, who these guys were. You know, and then it talks, I've seen commentaries and everything that talk about, they think that, you know, they say that Paul maybe was almost like putting him like Christ, you know, this Onesiphorus guy. Mind you, he's only mentioned one time, you know. He wasn't doing that, you know. And you could see through Paul's, I mean, when you put the percentage of the things that Paul wrote in the Word, and this one little passage about Onesiphorus, it's a minute percentage to what he had to say. So it shows you right there alone, you would think, I don't understand why these scholars were even arguing about the fact that he was putting him above, you know. No, he was just showing you an example of somebody chasing to be like Christ. You know, he was showing you what we should strive to be like. And the fact that this guy was like that, this guy, you know, he came to Paul. He searched hard until he found Paul. You know, he would go through lengths. You know, I saw one area where somebody commented, Onesiphorus made it his business to find Paul. You know, are we making it our business to get to know the Word, to get to know Christ, to fan that flame into our gifts, you know, fan the flame of our gifts? And it made me think, I know we're getting close to running out of time, but it made me think about, you know, brothers and stuff here, you know. Last Sunday, I had to cook, and when I was at Kroger, and I always go in the morning because I'm going to make sandwiches, and I get the bread fresh and everything, and thanks. And then so I went there, you know, got everything and everything, got into the car. Rico asked me the night before if he can come with me to help. And he woke up early at 6 in the morning and everything and came out and helped. So we got all the groceries that we needed, and then we got in the car, and I went to turn on the car, and it would not turn on. Yeah. And then I tried again, and it got worse. It just like click, 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 you know. I was like, oh, shoot, something's wrong. And I know it can be one of a few things, you know, just from experience. So I grabbed my phone. I didn't know what to do, you know, so I just like, okay, I got to call somebody to help me. 6 a.m., who's up, you know? Who's up? Well, I said that to myself, too. I was like, who's up? And the first thing that came to mind was one of my brothers, Ray Maldonado. I called him, right? And he's usually at Donna's having coffee by that time. Donna and Eddie's, you know? Somewhere around there. No, it wasn't 6 by that time. Remember, I went grocery shopping. So it was already 6:30, 6:40, something like that. So I was like, oh, he has to be up, you know? I call him, hello, you know, like he's like waking up, you know? And I felt so bad. My heart like sunk and everything. I felt so bad that I woke this guy up. I know sleep is hard. You know, if I struggle sometimes when I get woken up out of my sleep, you know, by somebody or some outside force, it doesn't make you happy, you know? It doesn't. I mean, who wakes up from being woken up when like 10 minutes before their alarm goes off and wakes up happy, you know? Tell me that person so I can learn from them how to be, you know? So, you know, I felt so bad, you know, and I'm apologizing, and I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he just insisted, he said, what's wrong, man? What's going on? And then I told him and everything, and he was like, oh, okay, just give me some time. I'll get ready to go and get, you know, to go up there and stuff. And then I was like, you know what, wait, don't worry about it. I'm going to call Eli because he has to be up. He's helping me cook. You know, I don't know why Ray came to mind first. But, you know, and then, right, now, he's already up, but I, you know, sometimes, like me, I can sometimes fall back asleep, you know, depending on, you know, so I was trying to make it quick and hurry up and end it. So, you know, I call Eli, comes, and we couldn't get it started. His car was a four-cylinder, it wasn't pushing enough power to get it started. That means my battery or my alternator or something was really jacked up. In short, to find out, it was the battery, not the starter. I checked it out, ohmed it out and everything, and it's pushing the right voltage. So I got it fixed, but I left the car there to come in and getting Eli's car to cook. Now, after all that happened, Ray still called me, and he called me to apologize to me. You know, and that, like, really, really, really touched me, you know, and it showed me that I have a brother here that's loyal, you know. And I have many of them here. You know, many of you guys are like that. And it makes me grateful. It shows me Christ, you know, in him. You know, it shows me. It's like God saying, I'm with you here, you know. And I think it's important that we are there for each other like that. You know, I think it's important. Even if you don't have the strength to maybe do something, maybe to at least encourage. Yes. You know, and maybe at least to pray for the strength and maybe get it to do it. You know, sometimes we had to pray for something that we don't have. You know, sometimes we have to force our body to do something we don't have so that way you could see Christ come in, you know, in that weakness.
Yes.
So sometimes we gotta like spank ourselves in the butt to get up and go, you know. And then what I'm going to say on top of that, Ray also called my wife to make sure that maybe I wasn't trying to be nice, I think. And say, oh, everything's fine, you know. He called my wife to make sure, hey, everything's okay with Ricardo, you know. I know he needed help, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and he was explaining it to her. And I was like, man, he's still going. Man, what an example. I mean, for me, that ministered to me. You know, I was like, I hope I could be like that to others. You know, I hope I could be like that and stuff like that. And then same with Eli. I mean, it wasn't his day to cook, and he came and helped me. He helped me out of that point to get the groceries here. I was stressed out, thinking, oh man, we're running out of time. I got here late to cook, and somehow everything still worked out, and we were done. You know, we literally were done on time, you know. Yes, thank you. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without people like that, you know. And so it's not me, you know. It shows you that it's Christ, You know, I don't have the strength to do none of this. Christ does. You know, so we got to put him in our hands. So I'm going to finish off just with this last verse. So in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and behind and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And I think that that's very important because that helps us keep us in check to stay loyal to God. You know, and I think things like that are just little tidbits of information. It's like a manual to tell you, this is what you got to do. So that way when you fall, you have that reminder right in your face, you know. You know, or when right at that point when you think you're about to fall or something, so that word pops up and it's telling you, wow, God's right here with me, you know. So that's it for now.
Give him a hand. Yeah. Brian, would you do the honors and close in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for Ricardo and, Lord, his loyalty to you, Lord, and to the church. Father, we thank you for that. And thank you for that timely word, Lord God. And help us to be loyal, Lord, to you and to one another, Lord. We thank you for the stories that he shared, too, to just encourage us, Father God. And we just pray your blessing be upon him, Lord. And also a blessing to be upon this service, Lord, upon the worship, Lord, and the preaching and the teaching of your word. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.